WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. has its first medal of the Olympics. Cassidy Cook and Sarah Bacon won silver in the 3-meter springboard synchronized diving competition. First Lady Jill Biden's led the U.S. delegation to Paris during an event at the home of the U.S. ambassador to France today. The First Lady said,
"Last night was just, it was spectacular. The rain did not dampen our spirits."
Referring to the opening ceremony, but travel in France still affected by coordinated arson attacks Friday on high-speed rail lines. The Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of a part of Gaza designated a humanitarian zone, saying it's planning an operation in the area against Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met Friday with former President Trump in Florida one day after he met with President Biden. And crews in Northern California still fighting the Cook Fire, more than 300,000 acres in size. This is ABC News. One of the co-founders of the notorious Sinaloa drug cartel is in U.S. custody. Ismael Zambada arrested Friday along with the son of the notorious drug lord known as El Chapo. ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has details.
According to sources familiar with the investigation, Zambada was lured on a trip he thought was to inspect airfields in northern Mexico. But it turned out to be a flight to an airstrip inside the U.S. near El Paso. Agents of Homeland Security Investigations and the FBI were there to arrest him when he landed. We've learned that El Chapo's son was secretly flown to Chicago. His status unclear.
Zambada appeared in court Friday and pleaded not guilty. Two former FBI officials settled their lawsuits with the Justice Department, claiming it violated their privacy rights by leaking text messages they sent one another disparaging former President Trump. Peter Strzok settled for $1.2 million. I'm Brian Clark. ABC News.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. 1 in 8 people in Wisconsin could find it harder to afford food under the U.S. House version of the Farm Bill. Mike Moan reports.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, falls under the Farm Bill, which needs to be reauthorized by the end of September. House Republicans have blocked efforts to maintain White House authority to make non-inflationary adjustments to SNAP benefits. Megan Rowe with the group Opportunity Wisconsin says not having that option would put recipients at a disadvantage.
SNAP benefits help over 700,000 Wisconsinites afford food, which is 1 in 8 people in our state. And so gutting this assistance would mean that these families have to make difficult choices.
The Congressional Budget Office says removing the provision would limit the scope of future SNAP increases by $30 billion. Advocates say that amounts to a large cut. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden was called out for a recent committee vote to keep the option shelved. In a social media post, he accused Democrats of lying when saying the panel was cutting benefits. Suzanne Becker of the Feed My People Food Bank in Eau Claire says politics shouldn't come into play. She argues elevating SNAP levels as much as possible is a wise move.
We can never replace the impact that SNAP has on our neighbors. Nonprofits can't do that. We make a difference every day. We strive to. But this is a critical piece in making sure that all Americans have what they need.
Becker says her location sees a lot of demand among working families. Her team works with income-eligible clients to sign up for SNAP benefits, noting it's a lifeline for older populations. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 65. Slight chance of showers and storms for your Sunday, otherwise partly sunny at a high of 83. Sunday night, scattered storms, low around 67. Monday, partly sunny and a high around 85.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. Stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Thursday night, we are still on a huge kind of excitement flowing as we've the transition. Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe, whatever you want to say, President Biden, the patriot that he is, put forth the opportunity to allow that torch to be carried by someone else. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Kamala Harris. We got a lot to talk about in that side because, man, when it comes to really talking about public education and what we're up against right now, we got a lot to talk about. Johnny Lupinacci, though, how are you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great, Tim. It's great. Great to be here. Great to be, like you said, man, we're on this bender of, you know, excitement finally from the Democratic Party. And, you know, it's long overdue.
Yeah, it is.
But, hey, I'm here riding that wave, you know, figuratively with the politics and literally with the family on vacation on the beach. But, man, I would be beside myself to not be able to join you and Jess and talk about these things because as they're unfolding, man, they're exciting and they are unfolding and really exciting stuff we're going to get to today from a recent guest.
Absolutely.
Related to this conversation. But before we get too far into any of this, Tim, man, I got to say a shout out to our friends at Monaco Brewing Company because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Monaco Brewing Company. Those folks are big-time advocates for public schools in Wisconsin and are right there with us, Tim. Mm-hmm. They're connecting strong public education to a strong democracy. They know it's important. Our public schools matter. Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Nice. It's definitely go get one of those beers. And Johnny, check it out. Civic Media app. I know you've got it downloaded. I know everybody out there. But just a reminder for anybody out there, if you haven't grabbed it, go grab that Civic Media app because it guarantees that where you are, if you have a cell signal, I can't say guarantees everywhere because I'm telling you, some of the back roads around my house, you can't guarantee anything other than the possibility that you could be stranded out here for years and no one would know about you. However, the Civic Media app, there it is, Johnny, for people watching. And we'll talk about if you're watching, download that. You can make sure that that way you have all of your Busted Pencils content all of the time live and any of the other Civic Media shows that you love to watch and listen to. Speaking of, Johnny, too, you could check out, as you said, you know, some, you know, if you like looking at eye candy, then.
Come on, Tim.
Well, Jess, come on. You know.
Well. Yeah. I think you're hinting at the fact, Tim, that every episode of Busted Pencils has what we like to call bonus content.
Absolutely.
Credit Jess for that great, great naming of what happens behind the scenes. Catch behind the scenes discussions, our jokes, of course, our sweet faces. By watching the stream, Busted Pencils on Facebook, Civic Media or Busted Pencils, YouTube, Civic Media or Busted Pencils, or on X through Civic Media.
X. I just, come on. Look, you know, I saw one of these polls on X the other day, and I fell for it. It was a fake Elon Musk poll, but he was asking, should I change it back to Twitter, yes or no?
Absolutely.
The answer is yes, Elon.
I mean, Twitter is a marketing genius. Yes. I mean, you have things called tweets. You got a little bird on the phone. I mean, everything about it worked really well. It was a whole thing. But, of course, take something good. You got to make it, you know, something else.
A little humility would allow him, though, kind of like President Biden, to, you know, step up and say, you know what, I made a mistake, or I'm going to do with something. I'm going with Twitter. Too much. Speaking of that, Johnny, if you got a chance last night, President Biden, 11 minutes. That's all he had. 11 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I was on
that. Not 93 minutes like that other guy.
I mean, Tim, we were the opening act on civic media for the president of the United States. So you think I wasn't hanging around with my civic media app? Well, I even streamed it through the smart speakers, you know, out to the beach where we were having a little family summer vacation. But everybody listened to the president from the Oval Office through the civic media app on the smart speakers. It worked. It was fantastic.
Well, and there he was, too. Very humble. Even choked up to the point, you know, very intimate setting, but just let us know all of his accomplishments. And then, though, most importantly for me, what's at stake in November here, and then throwing that support to what looks like is going to be the presumptive nominee, Kamala Harris. You know, I again, gotta applaud President Biden. And now, though, at this point, I am, you know, because Jess was like, where are we going to go on the show tonight? And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go with Biden anymore at this point. Now, he did his duty. He's moved on. I'm so excited. Okay, we're giving him cheers. He got our Democracy in Action Award. President Biden, thank you. But now, man, the excitement around Kamala Harris and all of what's possibly coming forward, or not what possibly, what is coming forward, how we imagine how we can move through, what we're going to think about, how we're going to continue this excitement. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We're educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Oh, Johnny, man, I'm out of breath.
There's a lot of good stuff to be talking about, Tim. We got to do some conditioning, though, because usually you can let it rip for a little bit longer than that. Take a deep breath and get your energy back going. Get it going, because we got lots to talk about. Tim, some of the things that I'm most interested in right now in this moment, and I'm with you, it's exciting. I had no idea. Like, even though we were talking about these possible changes and the need for them, I really had no idea how energizing it would be for so many people. I mean, everywhere I go, the buzz is just kind of out there. Like, hey, there's stuff happening. I think I just read a recent update that there's like a 1% difference.
Between
the Trump ticket, right, and a Harris ticket. And I mean, that's pretty massive for just a few days turnaround. And so, you know, where do we go from there? And I like the last show, Tim, you had mentioned you had been doing some reading. And I know Jess is always on this because producer Jess, if our listeners don't know, has kind of a background in this. Is like, even though, like, she'll say her school focus is more towards neuroscience, right, and psychology and all these things. Jess, correct me. I know I'm wrong, but you have this health sciences and science background, but you also have quite interesting backstory of poli sci. We'll let Jess share. Yeah. So Jess has also been digging around in the excitement too. And both of you have been talking about, and we've been in our texts back and forth, we've been talking about possible vice presidents. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned, and I love this, Jess reminded us last show, so did Teacher Hallie, like, we are excited about when you elect a president, you're electing a whole administration. You have the opportunity to really make a choice on what you want the future to be. And so you both had been kind of teasing out some of the vice president possibles.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I loved where you were both going with that last show. So, you know, I'm hoping, Tim, we can dig into it a little bit more. You both can inform me. As listeners know, I've been on vacation. I've been reading. I've been keeping up.
You've been regulating.
But certainly not to the level, right, that both Jess and Tim have. So we're going to just kind of tease through some things. And then, listener, we're gonna make a connection to a recent guest who I thought inspired me before all this shift. Yeah. I mean, we had the AFT president, Randy Weingarten, on here, and she inspired me, as union presidents are supposed to do. They're supposed to be inspiring and unifying. Well, she sure is. But she had some awesome stuff to say today. So we'll get to that, too.
Get to that. And L.A. Tom, man, he's been calling us right off the top of the hour all the last few days. L.A. Tom, you got some advice for us. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Yeah, guys, I got to just kind of push back a little bit on last night's show with Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie. You know, when Kamala Harris first spoke in West Dallas, she was introduced by a teacher. She said that teachers are the most underpaid profession and the most important profession. She also is somebody that just strongly believes in public education. And I think that we really need to learn, as Democrats, as progressives, as democracy warriors, there is a difference between demonizing someone and pushing someone. Mm. And I really would like this to be an ongoing conversation, because we're really, really good at demonizing our own people, but we're not very good at pushing them, where we actually get a group together like AFT, and we actually push them to go somewhere, not demonize them, where it actually ends up hurting the whole total cause.
L.A. Tom, man, he's hitting it right there. And I would say, I mean, you know, I don't know if it needs a defense, but Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, I would put them in the pushing category of where they were going last night, because when it comes to, we said, to the contrast of the other party, there's nothing to talk about there. But when it comes to public education, and I think you're right, L.A. Tom, and what Johnny's talking about, when we start getting into who are going to be the vice presidential potential contenders, you know, we're coming at this from the public schools, Mark, because we want to push. AFT wants to push. I like that idea of pushing and not demonizing. I think that is truly our civic responsibility, is to step up and say, you know what? Great. You're definitely our person. However, we would like to see this. And I see right now a lot of public education pushing on the vice presidential candidates, John, you hinted to. We'll talk to some of that. But I see very, you know, very strongly one, particularly one of those candidates, is not getting great favorable reviews. And it's not that we're demonizing this candidate. I think what we're trying to say is we're pushing Kamala Harris and the team that has put together her launch to this, is to say, hey, look, you've got some people to choose from out there. Here's one. We want to push you, Kamala Harris, the people that are her team, because there are some other people that absolutely seem to be that they would be a better choice when it comes to public education. L.A. Tom, though, appreciate the call. Definitely fully the idea, not demonizing our own team. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. Johnny, man, you got me excited about when we come back, because speaking of AFT, Randy Weingarten, we've got quite a few little sound bites from Randy Weingarten. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to dispel a credit myth. A NerdWallet survey found that more than 46% of Americans think that carrying a monthly balance on your credit card helps your credit score. This is so not true. Carrying a monthly balance on your credit card does not help your credit score. Here's what does. Number one, use credit cards. Number two, don't charge more than 30% of your credit limit in any given month. Number three, pay the card off on time and in full every month. That will help you get a good to great credit score. Carrying a small balance won't hurt your score if you're paying the minimum every month, but by carrying a balance, you're also going to be paying a lot in interest. And that is why this is a myth that credit card companies don't work too hard to dispel, because it makes them some money. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, you know which way. You know which way. It's one way or the other way. Either way you can go. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Man, 855-752-4842. LA Tom calling the first segment, reminding us, you know, we got to push people. Let's not demonize people. LA Tom, great advice. Speaking of, though, talking about Johnny, we had a great guest last week, Randy Weingarten, president of AFT. People like AFT used to be the American Federation of Teachers, now branded as just the AFT Union, representing healthcare workers, people that are working in the trenches throughout the schools. Huge, okay, big, second largest labor union. She really, today, Vice President Harris, candidate Harris, spoke at the AFT convention, of which Randy talked about that they were going to be having. Jess, let's go right into it and hear what Randy had to say about this new reality we're living.
Well, do you want the new reality, or you want this administration that we currently have?
Number two. Yeah.
All right.
Number two.
This is the most pro-labor, pro-worker, pro-family, pro-public education administration in our history.
That's what we needed to hear right there, to put that out there. And again, we just want to make sure that people are hearing that pro-labor, pro-family, pro-public education. Johnny, hear Randy. Her excitement on the show, you could feel that she is somebody who just delivers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it comes back, like L.A. Tom was talking about, like, we need to be really conscientious of not demonizing and but separating on that out from how we push one another. And I want to come back to this, like, that's an important point, because too often we're either or. And we've hung on this, like, this is really not an either or. This is really about looking at facts, understanding, even if all of what we love or wanted to see out of an administration didn't happen, right? We have to look at the record. We have to look at the facts, and we have to have solidarity, and we have to have a little bit of a backbone with that solidarity too. So just know, like, we can push each other. We can be hard on each other, but we got each other's back. And that's what solidarity is about. And that's what labor unions have a strong history of. We'll talk with, like, Tim, you know, blue collar scholars. We'll blue talk the scholar. Talk. Yeah. But and sometimes it's a little bit rough, and it's always very direct, but doesn't mean we don't have your back all the way, ride or die, right to the end. And I think that's the mission. And we'll hear some of that later. Randy Weingarten synthesized that well and reminded us on the show recently, hey, let's look at the facts. Let's contrast, mm-hmm. right? Let's really look at what this administration, what this team has done, because Harris has done some pretty darn impressive things, not only in her career, but in the White House as the vice president. And so I liked remembering that. It might not be my wish list for all things education, but we know that's a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly isn't the destruction of it.
Right.
And it certainly isn't an impedance to the things I dream as possible. I think she can bring those closer to reality than anyone else in recent times. And I think she has a record to show that. So I love that reminder from AFT and from Randy Weingarten. It's exciting. It's unifying. It's solidarity. It's going to be a rough road, but we're here for it. We're going to ride that road all the way.
One of the things, though, too, I mean, Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris. I mean, she just started listening to Busted Pencils. So it's going to take her a while to really get where Johnny and Tim and Jess are coming from and all those guests. But eventually, you know, and that's what we're doing here every night. We're making sure that that administration and that team right now, they're listening because, as L.A. Tom says, we're pushing forward.
That's right. You know, and I said it was a bender of a week with all the politics, all the exciting things. And then add on that, I've been on vacation. Not really. I am on vacation, but I'm clued in. Man, producer Jess just shot me a message reminding me, Johnny, Randy Weingarten was our guest a week ago today.
One week ago.
So listener, if you're like, man, they're talking a lot about this AFT gal, she is something else. I got to listen to that. Just go back to last week's show, last week, Thursday. AFT president Randy Weingarten was on the show. It feels like to me like two, three weeks ago. Heck, if we're talking news from the Democratic Party, we're talking that feel that 3 years. 3 years I haven't had as big of news as we've had in the last few days.
Well, you can get pencils. That podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the Civic Media website.
Oh, thank you, Jess, reminding people. Yeah, go download it. That's one of the great things, too, is you can download all of those episodes and kind of catch up. And in fact, if you want to forward those episodes on to your favorite politician so that they can also get in the public education, Busted Pencils is available for everybody who wants to learn. Yeah, it's what we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to jump in. In fact, John, I'm going to put it out there right now. Not a challenge. We want to know, because let's start digging into some of the vice presidential candidates as we're moving in. Now, we might want to just put out there who is on that list to potentially be a contender. And let me tell you, listener, if you have somebody that we don't say, we want to hear about them too. We want to hear about every possibility, because who knows? I might not have the sense of what you understand. And it might be like, holy crap, I need to push. As L.A. Tom said, I'm going to start pushing on that person. But Johnny, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan, Roy Cooper, governor of North Carolina, Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, and Mark Kelly, senator of Arizona. And we'll say that is not in a rank order. That is just right now on the list.
That's the Busted Pencils prospect list.
Jess was making show notes.
Yes. Jess made the list. So those are the people who made the list at this point. We would love to hear from you. But when you hear those potentials, Josh Shapiro, Gretchen Whitmer, Roy Cooper, Andy Beshear, Tim Walz, J.B. Pritzker, Mark Kelly, who is it? We want to hear from you. Tell us who we think, because Johnny and I, we're going to definitely let you know.
Oh, we got our favorites.
Yeah, we got our favorites, and I can
I will say this, though, Tim and listener, you call in, and like, we want to hear from you, too, about these folks, especially if you're in that state. You have real strong experience with it. But I'll tell you, Tim, I like straight down this ticket. Like, I'm not too concerned. Like, oh, no, what's going to happen if they choose the wrong person? I mean, I don't think they can get it wrong here.
I do.
I know you do. I don't think they can. I have my favorites, of course, but I don't think they could get it wrong. And that's, again, not just like blind support for the Democratic Party as much as it's solidarity. I think this prospect list put together, I have my favorites for a particular reason, but I'm like, we could do some good with these folks. We could do some good.
Oh, you think about it. Yeah. Put them in the contrast to J.D. Vance. Okay. Yeah. That list right there.
I don't think anybody on the list is a grifter. That's a hint. That's not me calling anybody in particular. That's just a hint. Nobody on that list is a grifter.
Oh, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. 855-752-4842. Vice presidential possibilities. Who is it that you would like to see? Stay tuned and let us know.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. has its first medal of the Olympics. Cassidy Cook and Sarah Bacon won silver in the 3-meter springboard synchronized diving competition. First Lady Jill Biden's led the U.S. delegation to Paris during an event at the home of the U.S. ambassador to France today. The First Lady said,
"Last night was just, it was spectacular. The rain did not dampen our spirits."
Referring to the opening ceremony, but travel in France still affected by coordinated arson attacks Friday on high-speed rail lines. The Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of a part of Gaza designated a humanitarian zone, saying it's planning an operation in the area against Hamas. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met Friday with former President Trump in Florida one day after he met with President Biden. And crews in Northern California still fighting the Cook Fire, more than 300,000 acres in size. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another rough night for starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. He gave up 2 home runs in the first inning. By the end of the second, the Brewers were losing 5-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Brewers ended up losing the game at home 6-2. Manager Pat Murphy.
Freddy would like to have those pitches back. You know, it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're behind like that, you know, and he did some good things tonight. He didn't have his best stuff.
The two teams meet again tonight. NFL Jordan Love has a new contract, a 4-year deal worth $255 million, making him the highest paid quarterback in NFL history, $155 million guaranteed, and Love will get a signing bonus of $75 million. So what's next?
Just reps. You know, you just got to get those reps, build that chemistry. Obviously, I've got a good amount of reps through OTAs, but it's different going into training camp. You know, just getting those reps with the guys and building that chemistry with everybody.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 65. Slight chance of showers and storms for your Sunday, otherwise partly sunny at a high of 83. Sunday night, scattered storms, low around 67. Monday, partly sunny and a high around 85.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970. A high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend. And will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We flipped our finger to the king of England. The stole our country from the Indians. We got on our side and guns in our hand.
Buster Pence was fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Conversation about, oh man, it's the end of July. From the teacher's point of view, how do you start viewing the days? Now, is it the countdown to, oh my goodness, I got to go back to school real soon? Teacher Joanna, I was thinking about what you just said. It's like when you see that first back to school commercial, it's when you get that, oh my God, wait a minute. Why do we have to talk about, you know, the best clothes or trapper keepers today? We can wait anytime. I know. I remember feeling like that all of the time.
Well, and you know, actually, now that I think about it, though, too, like I'm speaking from a place of like maybe privilege that I'm not working this summer. Many of my colleagues are working. They probably didn't even think, you know, how I'm like, oh, it'll, you know, then I'll have to like set my alarm again. But many, many people are working right now.
Okay. You
know? Right.
That's like,
well,
go ahead, Hal.
Sorry. I was just going to say many people are working, and even many people are like being forced to work, meaning like the district is being like, curriculum needs to be adapted. So you need to do this many hours over the summer for $20 an hour. Like it's like even worse than even just like second, third jobs. It's like,
yeah,
you know, even the layers are messed up to me.
I'd rather cut grass in the summer then, is what you're saying, as opposed to that, at least in that. But teachers, Joanna, okay, so what do we do?
Well, we have to really start taking a look, you know, like you and I have been connected over this for years. Like,
right.
We have to look at what is the real issue. Why are people not attracted to this profession? Or why do people come in and leave immediately? And how do we really hear that and change things in a way that will keep people, rather than just, you know, be like, oh, well, guess they didn't cut it. Or here, I remember when I would be talking with leaders in my district, where it would be like, how can we mentor people? I'm like, what do you mean? Like mentor them to like shift to like accepting these conditions, or are we going to show that we're working to change these conditions? And so I'm talking about really looking at shifting how a teacher's day is designed. And especially here in Wisconsin, after Act 10, our days went, they got longer. Like everybody added minutes, everybody added days. Positions that used to be paid for, supervisory volunteer things, were the pay was taken away and you were forced to do them. So again, it's like your technical contract day might start at 7:30, but you might be assigned a hall duty that starts at 6:45 that you have to show up and do. And so then those kind, like we can look at just those specific things. And I always say that all extra duties should be voluntary and paid. But then we do have to look at it like, and I probably said this on this show before, that you could look at that as like you're saving money. Or I felt like, no, I was just a very expensive hall monitor. Like I'm here for my expertise. You know what I mean? I'm here to design lessons and work with kids. But you think that, and so there's this thing happened where it was just like everything was interchangeable. Like you're on the street, you're in the hallway. Oh, and now you're teaching. Oh, and now you're being a test proctor. And now you're, and all of that. So we have to look at like, what is our work? What is the nature of our work? And how do we though build in, I'm simply asking for downtime. Like how do you build in breaths for yourself? I mean, in terms of the schedule. And how do we value downtime? And there was something that shifted that was like, you are not working if you are not with children the whole time you're there.
Teacher Hallie.
Well, I think the piece that is missing is that we need to start viewing teachers as professionals and actually looking at education as like a highly respected, like high quality profession, not just like nice ladies who are willing to do whatever everybody tells them to do. like, that's just what I think also in what Joanna's saying, like, to summarize it, like, we've really just taken out understanding what teaching and learning is and made this more into like a transactional job where I need to get, like, someone else needs to get X, Y, and Z done. And so then they're forcing professionals essentially to do work that's inappropriate for the level of qualifications that teachers actually have.
And, you know, I've been getting my study on for my PhD.
Yeah, you
and
have.
And just something I was examining yesterday was about that, like, where learning actually falls in terms of what schools are really trying to accomplish. And this was from Professor, I think his name is Richard Elmore from Harvard. And he said, number one role of school right now in this system we've designed around it is custody. And then two is, once you have custody, you know, like, where are the kids going to be? Then you think about control. Then after that, it's kind of about managing our socioeconomic economic system. Then comes learning. So I'm talking about going down to that stuff.
Whoa, speaking of learning, I think I just heard a bell. I think I heard it in my headphones. Tim, did we hear that bell?
Because There it is.
Every day on Busted Pencils, we highlight democracy in action. And today's democracy in action, Teacher Hallie coming right out of the gate, reminding us to have hope in people. We don't have hope in one single savior. We have hope in people. And collectively, I love how Teacher Joanna brought us back to this in this segment. Collectively, we have hope in teachers understanding the labor conditions and what they need to do good teaching, right? A couple weeks ago, we had AFT President Randy Weingarten on. She reminded us of the importance of organizing and supporting solidarity in labor. And I can't help but bring back that connection that she brought up. The AFT is the second largest union for nurses, right? And teachers. Nurses and teachers, two feminized career. Whether you're male identifying or female identifying, it's a feminized career. And man, I can't help but get excited about women taking leadership right now. This is exciting. It's connected to that. I don't just mean Kamala, but I mean collectively women. So today's democracy in action, Teacher Hallie's hope in the people, right? Connected to the core democratic value, popular sovereignty. Remember, every democracy in action on Busted Pencils is connected to a core democratic value. And today's is popular sovereignty. The power of the government comes from its people, not from individuals we elect. Those elections are important. We're going to talk about them. But in all of us, the people, and when we say that, especially all of us, the educators. So love it, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Thank you for being here with us tonight. Teacher Hallie, thank you for tonight's democracy in action. And that reminder, it's hope in the people, folks. Popular sovereignty locked in. I love it. Thanks for being here. Listener, stick around, because we want to make sure you know that President Biden is going to deliver an Oval Office address to the nation tonight at 7 p.m. Central. Stay tuned, as Civic Media is bringing you the speech live immediately following your favorite show. That's right, Busted Pencils, and you're listening right now. So stay tuned and listen to the president, because we're his opening act tonight on Civic Media, aren't we, Tim?
Nice. Well, I told you, you know, they asked us if we would do the opening for the president today, and I said, sure. Well, that's what Busted Pencils is for. We will gladly open for President Biden, especially since he was such a patriot and agreed that it was time to, you know, exercise his humility and pass the torch on. And it looks like that torch is going to Kamala Harris. Back to Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, though, too, this idea of a work day and all that. I know I want to stretch a little bit here and just point back to the first segment, staying in this realm, though, too. The other stuff that you do, Teacher Joanna, as we're coming into the fall, though, with this presidential race, Teacher Hallie, are we thinking about going, oh, my, I got to teach this stuff, too, on top of the fact that all of the inappropriate, how the school day is already structured so incorrectly, as you pointed out, Joanna. And now the fact is that we've got a major presidential election happening after an assassination attempt, all of this coming together. How does this situate you for coming back to school with that on your to-do list?
Well, I will be interested to hear from the kids. You know, I like to hear where they're at. So that I am really looking forward to is learning from them and just kind of taking in how they're seeing things, how they're thinking about things. Because again, it's not like I show up and I bring it up. They show up and they bring it in.
That's what I was thinking, even during your conversation about like cutting the workday down to 4 days or whatever, the school week. That is the piece that I continue to hear when people talk about education who aren't educators. And it goes with this of like this idea that like teachers tell students everything that they need to know, where I'm like, so much of what we do is way more about students bringing things to us. So I hear it even with like this presidential election. I don't have to have like the world's best like lesson plan written up for us to talk about it. The kids will bring it up because they've got cell phones at their fingertips. It's in their world. They're curious. And so my role is more to help navigate, how do we critically think about this? Or the things that you're seeing, what's true, what's not true, what makes sense to you? If you are 18 and you can vote, how will you go vote? You know, so it's less about me telling them who to vote for, but it's more about like, how can they critically take in all this information? And then I'll just add one more thing. That's the other reason I know that people don't really know what we're talking or like really what teaching and learning is because I'm like, even with all this stuff about us being indoctrinators, I don't go up to kids and say, hey, I have a friend who's gay and they lay in the same bed together. You know, like kids come up to us from 4 years old to seniors in high school with questions.
Or sharing their experience in their lives.
Right. And so it's our job as professionals. And that's what I mean. Like we're not viewed as professionals. We navigate those conversations either by nipping it in the bud. Cause sometimes it's like, this isn't the conversation that we're going to have right now. You know, like, sometimes that happens. Other times it's a teachable moment. Other times it's how can we critically think about this and connect it to the lesson? Like there's so many ways that we can flex and adapt, but none of that is talked about when we're talking about education.
Because learning is really about figuring it out for yourself. Yes. And we guide that. But it's guiding people to figure things out for themselves. But I think I brought up last week that election years are always interesting. Yeah. You know, they are. And like I said, because you kind of get to really hear where they're at and what they're hearing. And so I'm looking forward to that and I'm prepared to navigate that. And then I do think about helping students register to vote. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that kids hear about and they understand is like important, but kind of like anything, it's like applying to a job. Like I've worked with adolescents for decades and they're always nervous. They're like, I want a job, but I don't want to fill out the application. I want a job, but what do I do if they want to have an interview with me? You know, and you walk them through that. It's kind of the same thing with voting where they're like, I want to vote, but what do I really do? I want to vote, you know? And so, we've always worked with the, League of Women Voters. And they do some good voter registration events. And so, again, I'm not the expert. I'm not walking in saying, hey, kids, this is how you vote. But, right, we bring the opportunities to them or we help navigate that with them. And so,
Nice. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, especially on Wednesdays. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie here talking everything. School day. How do we make the school day better? Now coming into the election question. Have you ever been asked, well, who are you voting for, Mrs. Joanna? Who are you voting for? Because and then what do we do in those situations? We're going to answer that question. Stay tuned. Listen up, man, I'll tell you who I am. Just another stupid American. You don't wanna listen, you don't wanna understand. So finish up your drink and go home. Listen up, man, I'll tell you who I am. Just another stupid American. You don't wanna listen, you don't wanna understand. So finish up your drink and go home. Finish up your drink and go home.
You
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified in the house, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie here, and truly educated educators talking education tonight all over. But back to the question. So you're in the classroom, you're sitting there, it's the election year, it's November, and I remember my fifth graders always did that. Mr. Slecker, who are you voting for? My mom and dad, or they would do the other thing. My dad wants to know who you're voting for. I'm like, oh, really? All right, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, how do we address that question?
Well, you're right. That does come up. That's working with kids. And you know, we work with adolescents, so they ask about everything. And so, yeah, that's always comes up, and I usually just share with them. I don't say who I'm voting for. I'll just say, here are things I think about, and you say, oh, I know my vote's important to me. And when I'm voting, I think about the things that are important to me. And my students really do know that public education is very important to me. Yeah, I don't directly answer the question. I just share my thought process. And then again, sometimes I take them down memory lane about, oh my gosh, I remember when I was your age, this was the person who was president, and this is how I went and registered, you know, I connect it, but I really don't take time. And like Hallie said, sometimes you're just like, okay, guys, we're not getting into this right now. We're doing whatever else. But Hallie, what thoughts do you have on when you're asked, who are you voting for?
I had very similar thoughts, funny enough, where usually I'll like ask a question back, like, do you know what things that I value? So who would you think that I would vote for? You know, like, or it's still something that I'm, you know, like thinking about myself. And then, right, like, I'm way more interested in talking to them than about like registering to vote and helping them feel confident doing that. And those are the things they actually really care about, because I mean, it's a fleeting question. Who are you going to vote for? Whereas, especially our 18-year-olds or even 17-year-olds are actually thinking for themselves, like, about voting. Yep. So right. I can usually quickly like shift the conversation to like the act of voting. And then it's actually something that they're interested in. And then that's where I'm like, all right, let's talk about it.
Yep.
Like, I really like to talk about, like, how do you vote? We can practice, like, looking it up online. Yeah. What does your ballot look like? Like, stuff like that.
I'm in the same boat. I loved that question because, one, it's a great opportunity to talk about voting and our civic responsibility as voters. And similar, met with the question of, like, well, why you care about exactly who I vote? Care more about the process. And I used to go into a lot of how the election process works, like how, as a voter, I get to decide in a booth, I get to go into that booth, or, you know, now in the state of Washington where I live and teach, it's by mail. Everyone votes by mail. So you get mailed this thing. And we talk a little bit about pros and cons of that. because I'm a big, strong supporter of everyone having their decision. Everybody has a right to make their decision. Their voice is valued. And that's an important right. And it's an important responsibility we have. So we talk more about the process of voting. And I would say again, too, because it does mean something to children, especially older kids that are even older that are taking those issues. I always remind them, like, hey, I hope that you're following the issues that matter to you, to the future you want to see, the kind of administration you would like to see running this country and that decision. Knowing me as a person, I would always say, I bet you probably know who I'm voting for. I don't need to tell you because you know my politics, because we've had so many discussions on issues. So really reiterating how important it is that they learn, but also that we're models for them. And again, like both Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie said, and then shared in their response, none of us out there are indoctrinating, but we all have politics, especially politics that represent the well-being of children. And I'm sorry, in this election and in the past few elections, the politics of advocating for all children are pretty clear who you'd be voting for if you're supporting children. And children know that. You know, they would ask similarly, my students share all the time, that how do you respond in election year to who you're voting for? Well, you heard Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, and I share how we do it. We don't tell them who we're voting for. We talk about the voting process, and we do lean on, hey, you probably, you know, if you know my politics, you probably have a good idea who I'm voting for. The other very similar question would come up a lot of, do you support Black Lives Matter? And you know, and my students always ask me that. And I would say unapologetically, yes, and share with them the principles of that movement and why. But they wanted to know the translation of that. Do you care? Do you really care about all of us, our families and our communities? Right. And that is, I hate to say it, because we aren't in an electoral system where there are a lot of candidates who represent advocating for children. It's pretty clear, right, how we as teachers ought to be aligning our politics with our votes. So some ways students are checking to say, hey, do you care about us or not?
Yeah, well, and so we
it's
know
important for us to share. Yeah,
we know that actually is a really significant aspect of teaching, that students watch how you treat other people. You know, they very much pay attention to, like, how do you care for maybe like the people who struggle the most? And that sends a signal of, like, is this safe? Is this comfortable? Do I belong? Does everybody belong? And so, yeah, kids really pay attention to that kind of stuff. But right, us master educators, you turn it back to them. You're like, the subject isn't me, y'all. The subject is you and your lives. So we turn it back to that always.
And what I keep hearing, though, too, on this is, John, it depends. Like I said, when my fifth graders ask me, you're saying when your 16 and 17 year olds ask me, and Johnny's probably more referring to undergrads, of which I've also had that teaching undergrads and recognizing that there might be a different way to answer that question depending on what student is asking. Who is that student? What age are they? Where are we at? What are we involved in talking about? You know, when I was teaching social studies methods to beginning elementary school teachers, I was potentially, somebody would say, but sounds like you're heavily indoctrinating. Well, hey, it's Busted Pencils. And Johnny, you know what's also great? Man, we coming up on what a great show. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out Minocqua Brewing. Other thing, too, to remember, right after us, President Biden. Stay tuned to Civic Media. You can listen to President Biden, whether you're on the app, listen to this at all. Educators Amplified, thank you so much for busting pencils tonight.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Crude and Dom.
The Kamala Sugar High continues on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.